Well, just got back with my family from a mini road trip. We went to did a Shabbaton. I spoke at a synagogue in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Wonderful, wonderful community. Just fantastic people, incredibly hospitable, and it was just wonderful experience to be there. And on the way there and back, we did some interesting stuff. We went to visit the Amish in Lancaster County, had a buggy ride, had a tour of an Amish town house, schmoozed with the Amish. And on the way back, we went to the Northeast Pennsylvania State Fair. It's an agricultural fair, and it was quite an interesting experience. At the state fair, there of course was the world's largest pig. There were pig races, and there was a demolition derby with stock trucks and modified trucks and the classic stuff you might find at a county fair. Now, the truth of the matter is, I do enjoy things like classical music, and I enjoy art, and I enjoy museums, and enjoy reading and literature and stuff like that. But I was really surprised, and so, my family also, music, etc. We had a great time, though, to see the demolition derby. It's a lot of fun. I thought to myself, maybe I'm a bit of a snob sometimes, that we look down on people because they don't enjoy the same things that we enjoy. The truth of the matter is, and then we may not even try it because of our snobbery. And going to this state fair, I'm not, planning on wearing cut-off jeans and getting tattoos or anything. I'm just saying that that we shouldn't let our prejudices get in the way of enjoying some stuff, especially simple stuff. Seeing these trucks going around the circuit, jumping into the air over these ramps, smashing, flipping over, etc., was actually it was a lot of fun. Not ashamed to admit it, enjoyed it. The pig race was hilarious. Never seen anything like it in my life. Very, very funny. And it was a lot of fun. And I think it's, and the Amish, the simple life. I was very impressed. I think it's a great lesson that we can actually all learn to get to the simple life. There are a lot of simple things that we can do that we enjoy. And things don't have to always be extravagant, cost and fortune, high tech, etc. I think there's a lot to be said in the Jewish community for us to maybe pursue a little more of a simple life than a lot of the extravagance, whether it's in a bar mitzvah or a wedding, whether it's in our clothing, whether it is in our houses, our cars, etc. I like comfort, I love gadgets, I like electronics, etc. But I think there's a lot to be said for simplifying stuff. One thing I can guarantee, I don't think any Amish person has suffered from identity theft, frankly. I mean, I don't think they have credit cards. I don't know if they have bank accounts. They don't have internet. They don't have phones. No identity theft. Very cool. They know exactly who they are their whole life. That's pretty cool. But not that I'm planning on becoming an Amish or a redneck for that matter. But what I do think that we can learn a lot from both of these groups. I learned at the state fair that you can have a lot of fun for very little money, and it can be something which is really surprising that I can be sitting there, an Orthodox Jew with my family, with a whole bunch of people who are not exactly the same as us, and all whooping it up and having a great time together. That type of gives me hope for humanity a little bit. Then to go to the Amish and to see the fact that they are living in a very, very simple life, and the truth is, the vast majority of them are voluntary and do it voluntarily. The kids go out and make a decision after being out in the wide open world, and approximately, at least according to what I was told there, 90% come back to that. Could be after seeing the streets of Manhattan and Los Angeles and Chicago, etc., after having the noise and the internet and the cell phones and the Blackberries and the traffic and the healthcare system and everything else, I can type of understand why a lot of them want to go back to a nice, simple, and slow life. So anyway, that's my little ode to the country, which I thought was an important lesson for me and for the family, and I think we can all maybe learn from that. getting back to the actual Shabbaton. I think a lot of it is also what Shabbat is about. You know, on Shabbat, one of the ideas of the Shabbat is, for example, one of the prohibitions is we don't carry our wallets. We don't carry anything on Shabbat. So that means on Shabbat, I'm not identifying myself with my credit card, with my business card, with my driver's license, with my social security number, with the content of my wallet. I'm not buying anything. I'm disconnecting myself a little bit. It's actually interesting that, in the verse in the Torah, where it says that Shavat Vayinafash, that says God rested on the seventh. I'm sorry, I just bumped into something here. I hope that didn't disturb you. But it actually it says in the Torah when we talk about God resting on the seventh day, and it says that the Jewish people kept the Shabbat. I'm just finding it for you here. So it is a verse, it's a strange verse. Here it is. It is a verse in Exodus 31, and it says the following: "And the Jewish people kept the Shabbat to do the Sabbath for all their generations as an eternal covenant. Between me and between the Jewish people, it is an eternal sign, because 6 days God made the heaven and the earth, and on the seventh day, Shavat Vayinafash, which means he rested, and he rested." That's a little strange, because the word Shavat means he rested. Vayinafash also means he rested. In the English translation, in the prayer book that I have, it says refreshed. I don't know if that's a good translation. I know that in modern Hebrew, the word nofesh means a vacation. So vayinafash means to rest. But Rav Samson Raphael Hirsch has an interesting translation. He says it doesn't mean God rested and rested, because that is a repetition, that's tautology. God doesn't do that. So what does it mean, Vayinafash? It says he withdrew into his nefesh. That is to say, he ceased creating, he ceased the expansion mode, and withdrew into his essence. And he says that is actually what we are supposed to do on Shabbat. Cease the expansion mode, the building mode, the acquisition mode, and withdraw into our essence. So that on Shabbat, my essence is not represented by my wallet, my cell phone, my connections, my internet, etc., etc. My essence is my soul, myself. That's my essence. And so Shabbat is a little bit of an idea of getting back towards a simple life. Yes, we have great food, etc., but you know what? I'm only going places on Shabbat that I can walk. I'm not buying anything on Shabbat. I'm not attached to the world with wires and wireless, etc., etc. There's a tremendous amount of the simple life which we appreciate so much on Shabbat. And I think that's what it's about. Enjoying simple things as well. Family singing together, family eating together, things like poetry and reading and board games and a spatzir, that's Yiddish for a stroll, which is a special Shabbos treat, taking a stroll somewhere. And all these type of things, I think that our Shabbos in Harrisburg, which was sandwiched by the simple life of the Amish and the Northeast Pennsylvania State Fair, Demolition Derby and pig races, I think both of them were experiences which when it comes to Shabbos actually does, to a certain degree, give us an appreciation of things which are simpler and things which are more pure and things which are vayinafash, getting back into our essence, as opposed to all the stuff and baggage that we carry around. Thank you.